know. I was just thinking, listen to the words of this. It really defines the current social human condition on Earth almost perfectly. Are we ready for nanotechnology, huh?
Want to take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nine.
Now, come on, get off your worldwide duffs and give me a call internationally. Figure it out. Call the operator, the AT&T operator. Beg her. She'll help you. 800-893-0903. That's 800-893-0903. It's actually free from anywhere in the world. Oh, look what Ben in Calgary, Alberta says. He says, hey, Art, if you think Microsoft on your computer is unpleasant, can you imagine it in your body?
Hi, I'm Lucinda Bassett, founder of the Midwest Center for Stress and Anxiety. I suffered with anxiety and depression and panic attacks for over 20 years. I was afraid of everything, my thoughts, losing control, embarrassing myself, death and dying. I was totally consumed with worry, but I didn't know that these symptoms were from anxiety and depression. I believe I suffered with anxiety and depression all those years so that I could help other people do what I've done, recover completely. Our program has helped hundreds of thousands of people when other methods of help have failed. I've produced a seminar on tape that will show you the amazing results others have achieved and how you can control your anxiety and depression. Medication's not the long-term answer, and living with constant worry and fear and what-if thinking is exhausting. Call 1-800-ANXIETY today, and I'll send you my seminar on tape on attacking anxiety and depression. Someone who understands and cares is waiting to take your call now. Call 1-800-ANXIETY. That's 1-800-ANXIETY.
Commercials are more believable if you get to know real customers. So on the line with me is Michael Weisbrod, a Geico auto insurance customer. Michael, tell us about the real you.
Well, I'm 5'11", 170 pounds. My turn-ons are sunsets, honest people, walks on the beach, puppies, and low-cost car insurance.
It doesn't get any more real than that. To join sensitive people like Michael, call 1-800-947-AUTO. You could save 15% or more. 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico Direct, the sensible alternative.
Hi there. I'm the solution to that thing you've been trying to figure out all day. Too bad your brain is foggy, because you can't see me or any of the other interesting solutions you've got in here. Maybe you should try Ginkgoba. Ginkgoba helps keep you sharp by increasing the flow of oxygen-rich blood to your brain. That makes it easier for you to see me, the solution, and to see yourself for the innovative thinker you are. Sharp. You can make it happen. Ginkgoba.
Look for Ginkgoba brand in the vitamin aisle at food, drug, and discount stores.
Once again, the prince of micro... I better not say that. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you.
Would it be possible, do you think, this is just an offhand question, to design a nanotechnological something or another that would literally go around the world and destroy every single cell phone? Is that a yes?
That's an I don't know. I think once we get GPS in all of them, it'll certainly be easy to track them down.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Mark Pesci. Hello.
Oh, good evening, Art. John from Kauai, KQNG 570, listening to you out here. Thanks again for making us all stop and think. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
My question is twofold. Number one, could nanites be made to, like, be dispersed and then sit dormant, maybe recharging on solar power until they were globally awakened?
Yes, absolutely. Question with that is, what signal do you use to awaken them?
Right. Secondly, if I had a nanite and I took it in for inspection, could it be detected under a normal laboratory microscope at, say, 250 to 500 power?
It would depend on the scale of the nanite. Most nanites, we think, will be between the size of a bacterium and a virus. It would depend on the complexity of them. And so you can't really see a virus with a 500 times microscope. You can see a bacterium.
And my last question to you, Art, is, would you ask him if it could be sprayed in an aerosol form from an aerial tanker?
Sure. And for you, caller?
Yes, sir.
Regarding the signal?
Uh-huh.
We all know what it is. It's...
clap on.
Clap off. All right, thank you, and later. I don't think you would have to go to the extreme of spraying this stuff from anything, would you? Or would there be instances where you would?
Well, I guess it would depend on what your needs were. I mean, if there is an immediate problem and you wanted an immediate application, it's the same thing we use normal materials for. You use a spray when you want to apply something directly over a particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know it's there, rather than waiting for it to find whatever its target is.
Gotcha. Grey goo? Grey goo. Wild card line, you're on the air with Mark Pesci. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Yeah, this is Franco calling from L.A., KFI.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mark, would it be possible to use nanotechnology to help us, like, with the supernatural sector, the area as far as helping detect, you know, all these, you know, shadow people, the ghosts and the spirits, and I'll listen off the air. Thank
Very
you.
Very interesting. In other words, to learn something about what we now consider to be the metaphysical.
Well, it would depend on whether there's anything measurable by a nanite in that area. Now, clearly, the one thing that a nanite can do is it can make very, very precise and fine measurements to a detail and to a degree that normal scientific instruments aren't normally able. And so if there is something that is physically present in a phenomenon, a nanite might be able to detect it.
Hmm. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Pesci. Hi.
Hello.
Yes, hello. Where are you?
Okay, this is Mark from Grafton, Wisconsin.
All right.
Okay, when you mentioned the gray goo in the beginning, it was really fascinating, and it kind of reminded me of, I don't know, the Big Bang, or at least the theory of the Big Bang.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Big Bang in a way.
It's an expansion. I had a few comments on this. It's kind of a not-so-down-to-earth comment, but like the ultimate nanites, I guess, if you can look at it, it's the Big Bang released stuff, you know, maybe the ultimate nanites are nuclear material itself. I mean, because, you know, if what we build everything with in science, you know, it's from stuff that already exists, you know, nuclear, you know, atoms, molecules.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from the Hindu and Buddhist perspective, we live in an interactive universe, so, you know, these ultimate nanites that I call nuclear material, I mean, we're interacting with them all the time, you know. The way the Buddhist and Hindu philosophy goes is that there's, you know, for everything there's a cause. It's just an endless chain of cause and effect. So we know we're interacting with something. My point is we're interacting with these ultimate nanites, I call, you know, the stuff of the universe. So,
Well, you're getting metaphysical on us.
Well, it's metaphysical. My point is with this, again, is even everything that we create, you know, like even, I remember when the Cray computers, you familiar with Cray?
Yes, of course.
Cray computer systems?
Yes.
Their computers were approaching even the human form because they started using artificial blood plasma to cool the computer systems. So the point is...
Well, I guess you could think of it as artificial blood plasma, but
yeah.
I don't...
Yeah. What my point is to Mark is what's his, you know, with respect to... scale or the end, how far we can go with nanotechnology. That's why I bring up this, you know, kind of a metaphysical point. What's his view on scale? I mean, how far can we take it?
Well, it's going to be a complete transformation of the material world. Now, because we live in the material world, because we interact with and are engaged in a chain of causality in the material world, if we completely transform the material world, there is no choice but to completely transform what we are. Humanity on the other side of the nanotechnology revolution does not look like the humanity of the early 21st century. As Art points out repeatedly, there may not be any humanity at all. We may have pressed the wrong button, or maybe there was a software glitch and Microsoft in our bodies decided to just melt us all down. That said, it is possible that this transformation will take us somewhere else.
I wonder what they'd call that operating system. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Pesce. Hi.
Hi, this is Quentin in Portland.
Hello, Quentin.
I have two comments, and the last caller kind of led up to it, the first one. My opinion is that technology is a way to reflect back to ourselves our own makeup. I mean, we learn about, like you were saying earlier, you know, we create a mechanical, emotional human, and we learn about our own emotions. And I think that nanotechnology really gets down to the level of quantum physics and consciousness. And, you know, once we get into that level, we're in the arena of our consciousness affecting reality, you know, and we're using technology to do that. But I think that we already have that ability already within the human form. I mean, I'm thinking of someone like Jesus who manifested the loaves and fishes directly out of energy in the universe. And so I just see that nanotechnology is kind of a stepping stone to a spiritual awakening because, like you say, we're getting into a time when we'll be directly manipulating physical reality.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly correct.
Yeah. If we have that kind of ability right now, a direct control over matter, it's latent. It's not something we normally imply. And yet technologies are the way we convince ourselves that we have control over the material world. And so nanotechnology is, in a sense, that last step of control, that last actualization in which we've managed to prove to ourselves that we really do have the degree of control over the material world that was always latent.
But at some point, nanotechnology, for example, would allow a virtual duplication of every miracle or pestilence that occurred from God or Jesus when he was on earth. All of these things could be manifested by nanotechnology.
In the twinkling of an eye.
So then how, in a twinkling of an eye, so then how do we separate ourselves from God at that point?
Well, you'd have to, I think, be careful about psychological ego inflation. That's probably going to be one of the major psychiatric disorders of a nanotechnology world.
I'm sure.
People believing that they are the entire universe. And so there's going to have to be a balance. And you can, again, when you strike the sort of cautionary note, what we're saying is that we have to find that balance between our incredibly realized abilities as individuals and the fact that we need to keep existing as a species.
Is there any way for people to get in contact with you, Mark? Email addresses?
Email address is right there on the website, right on the front page of playfulworld.com. I encourage everyone. I got a couple of emails during the program.
What is it, just for grins?
Mark, with a K, at playfulworld.com.
That's easy. Okay, Mark at playfulworld.com. That's really easy. All right, first-time caller line, you're on the air with Mark Pesce. Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you have Hum.
Yes, I'm a first-time caller.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from El Paso, Texas.
All right.
On KTSM 690.
Right.
And my name is Gary.
Okay, Gary, fire away.
Yes, sir. Is this Art Bell?
It sure is.
One question, sir. Well, I have two questions. One, first of all, are we live across all 50 states of the United States of America?
Say that again, please.
Are we live across the whole world?
Yes, the entire world.
Yeah, okay. My name is Gary, and I'm calling from El Paso, Texas.
I got that already.
Okay. The reason I'm calling, sir, Art Bell, is because I was going to say that from my understanding of physics and the universe and astronomy, one time I posed a question to a man that was a planetarium director.
All right, you're going to have to get on subject here, or we're going to have to move on.
Oh.
I've got a guest. Do you have a question for him?
Yes.
What is it?
It's about the nano world, right?
Yes.
Okay. I want to ask one question. What is the definition
of nanotechnology?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's probably something we should have really defined at the beginning of the program. What is your definition of nanotechnology?
Nanotechnology is the human ability to build devices out of individual atoms. So if you take a look at the natural world, you take a look at a piece of wood, it's carbon atoms and oxygen atoms and hydrogen atoms that have been grown by nature's nanotechnology, a tree, biology. And so nanotechnology is our ability to take individual atoms and assemble them in any way we want to create anything we need.
International Line, you're on the air with Mark Pesci. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
Hi.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Canberra.
England?
Canberra, Australia.
Australia.
And basically, I've just got a comment, something that I think is pretty good. First, I want to say hi to Mastrax in IRC. My comment is, you're talking before about the possible deployments of nanoprobes. Maybe, if you think about it, some chemtrails are just that. Deployment of nanoprobes.
Well, I it could be. And there might be some applications where it would be sprayed. There are a lot of people who believe that we are being sprayed with one thing or another, Mark. That's what they mean by chemtrails. Would that be an effective way to disperse some early forms of nanotechnology?
If you're looking to disperse things into the environment that would be protective.
Yes.
So things that would protect against gray goo, you'd probably want first to test them very carefully in the laboratory to make sure that they are not dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, release them first at controlled levels and then very widespread levels into the environment. And this way, we will end up constructing an immune system that will help us defend against gray goo.
Kind of a gray goo SDI.
Yes, a gray goo antivirus.
Gotcha. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Mark Pesci. Hi.
Greetings, Art. Greetings, Mr. Pesci. I think one thing that hasn't been properly really touched on, a few people have addressed it, but putting this in the context of a national security state and the exponential erosion of privacy that we've had in this country through surveillance technology and what was originally military technology applied to civilian law enforcement, I think maybe we should introduce Mr. Pesci to Nick Begich. I think Mr. Begich, if you put in the context of that, of electronic mind control, of mind control technologies of which there are patents, of the CIA's history of mind control experiments,
mm-hmm.
And again, of this growing, it's a cliche, but this growing police state, the means of mass control of individuals is never ending. You could determine each individual's reality, not only their perception, but the response to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to this just absolutely glued. It's like listening to Michio Kaku in the sense of how theoretically fascinating it is in practical application. I'm afraid that the end result of this is going to be nanological chains.
All right. Well, Mark, in other words, there we are again, the one world government, the iron fist upon all of us. He somehow sees that completely tied into the development of this technology. I mean, in some ways, I see why he fears that, because we're kind of moving in that direction now.
Yeah.
I mean, what if they had the tools to really make it so?
The question here is there a they in this situation? Nanotechnologies will be both probably very easy to make, which is the great benefit and danger, and very easy to distribute. And so in the sense that we don't really have to worry about a centralized state trying to control nanotechnology, there probably won't be a single point of focus for control. That also means that if there are control nanites in the environment, someone clever will develop anti-control nanites in the environment. At least we'd have to want to work to that kind of thing. I mean, again, perhaps the biggest, most important issue in nanotechnology is the issue of defense against nanotechnology.
Mm-hmm.
That really is almost a bigger part of the problem than anything of the benefits that we get.
All right. Not a lot of time. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Pesci. Hi.
Hi, this is Justin listening in Minneapolis on AM 1500.
Yes, sir, KSTP.
Yep. I have a question about how could you possibly power all these trillions of little nanites in a sustainable way?
It's a very good question. There are a lot of proposals on the table right now. Some of them involve using microwaves, ultraviolet light, sunlight, and infrared light. you can use the photoelectric effect on these devices. Now, if you have a nanite that's floating around inside your body, it might be metabolizing sugars that are in your body. It might be beaming microwaves at a very low level into your body to keep them activated. Now, one of the upsides of this sort of thing is it provides a way to turn them off. Because if you deprive them of whatever their power source is, you've effectively deprived them of their ability to function. But it's one of the issues that researchers are looking into right now when they're studying how to make these devices work.
And also, if they're electronically based, what would happen if you aimed extremely high-powered EMPs at them, or high-powered microwaves, or what if they got hit by a solar flare? Would that knock them out?
It would probably knock them out in the same way that our computer chips these days can be knocked out by solar flares.
All right.
Thank you very much. I never even considered that aspect of it. In other words, there might be things in the environment that would kill a nanotechnological project of some sort, deader than a doornail.
Absolutely. The smaller you get, the easier it is for them to break.
All right. Once again, your book is called Playful World. And your book is available all around the playful world right now, right?
Absolutely.
Bookstores and on Amazon.com and website and all the rest of it. We've got a link to your website up there right now. And your email address is mark@playful.com.
Playful World.
Playful World, I'm sorry, .com.
.com.
So easy. Well, you're going to get a lot of emails. Are you able to answer them?
I'll try.
Would you say you're looking forward to the development of this technology, or you are wary of the development of this technology, or both?
I would say I'm guardedly optimistic. I believe the basic principle of chaos theory is sensitive dependence on initial conditions. And I think that we need to make the best possible world for nanotechnology. We need to make the best possible awareness for the public, for the government, for the researchers. If we do that, we stand the best possible chance of navigating this incredible transition.
Well, it sure has been a pleasure having you on the program, and if you're up to it, we will definitely do it again, because we've hardly scratched the nanotechnological surface here. And so will you come back?
Absolutely. I've had a great time. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Good night, Mark. All right. Tomorrow night, Linda Moulton Howe will be here in the first hour. She was displaced, and she volunteered to be displaced. She got a lot of very important information. But as you know, Richard Hoagland had also some incredibly current important information in tonight's first hour. So she will be here tomorrow night in the first hour. I'm Art Bell from the high desert, where finally the devil winds have let up a little bit. High pressure is settling in. A great big, or is it a little tiny, nanotechnological paton.